You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and Big Time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Brian, it's good to see you.
Hey, Michael. Welcome to another beautiful Saturday.
Man.
It's the San Diego of the future, this Milwaukee we've got.
Do you know that sun is shining just a little bit brighter since the Hilltoppers are still playing?
Both of my teams, boy, we had great years. I'd like to give a shout-out to Tom Swiddle for his incredible season with Brookfield East. They lost last night, but man, they played well. What a great team he put together. Yeah, it was terrific. Yeah,
it was, and they fought back. And in fact, on the high school football show following, we're going to have Ingrid on.
Oh, very nice.
Mrs. Swiddle's going to join us.
Yeah, very
and,
cool.
And we said, win or lose. And she said, if we lose, I got a great story because what a great year. And,
yes.
And if we win, we certainly want to talk about that. I'm a big fan. So there was...
And then props out to Maz Tooth. Oh, great job, man. With Marquette High, upsetting Fondy.
Man.
Incredible.
They're still playing.
Yeah. Well, it seems like every year we're going there. That's just tremendous.
It's awesome. Hey, let's... we like to start the show with some injury report. We don't want to talk at all about the game, the Packer game last week. We want to stay away from that if we can.
We're going to have Jenny Heineman, our sports psychologist, on to talk about that.
She's coming on, I think, next week or the following week.
She is.
2 weeks from now.
And hopefully we'll be recovered from that game by that point.
Well, if not, you know what? If they lay an egg again this week, then I'm going to need to call her prior to her coming in.
Yeah, we might need her in sooner.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Clay Matthews dinged up a knee. He's probable. I think he's fine. It sounds like he practiced a little bit this week. He'll be ready to go.
Certainly hope so. We need him.
Need him.
He's the one guy on that defense that you really see, you notice. And other than that, we don't really see a lot of guys standing out right now. So we really need him in there, that's for sure.
And I'll tell you what else. You know what else we need? Ty Montgomery. The receivers caught a lot of gruff this week. A lot, on stations like this one. And I think they're starting to fight back a little bit. But when you see Ty Montgomery on the sidelines with an ankle problem, that's just one of those bullets that they don't have in their chamber, and they need him back on the field. It seems to me, Doctor, that we're talking more and more about ankles than we have in the past, or I have in the past.
Honestly, I think this is just sort of the luck of the draw. The Packers have really had a lot of injuries this year. And they have had a lot of ankle injuries. Obviously, Eddie Lacy pops to mind right away. And then Devontae Adams had the problem, and now Ty Montgomery. But I don't know that there are more of them specifically for a reason. I think
right.
It just happens to be the way it is. But you're right. Ty Montgomery looks like a very promising young player. And they really need someone to stretch that field for him. And right now they don't have it. So they need him back. I don't know if they're going to get him this week. It's looking a little doubtful. But.
No, it's questionable, which is not a good thing. I think if he was probable, I'd feel a little bit better. Sam Shields, another guy who was questionable with a shoulder, and he was out most of the game. And you can see when he went down and he got up and he was holding his arm the way he was holding it, that he was having a problem with that shoulder.
Yeah, and this would be a good time to introduce our special guest, Dr. Eric Pfeifel, who's here with us today. It looked to me like that was likely an AC joint separation. At least that's what it appeared like. What did you think?
Thanks, guys, and thanks for having me again. Yeah, I think certainly on Sam Shields' shoulder, that most likely is an AC separation. Very difficult for a speed player that needs to use their hands overhead. It's going to be a slow recovery for him, but most likely be back this year based on what we know now.
Yeah, I hope so, because I don't know if they have a shutdown corner, but he's as close as they get.
And you can really notice the difference when they lose a guy like Shields, or they lost Morgan Burnett. You can see the difference that it makes on that defense. They're not that deep where they can just afford to have guys go down like that. And hopefully he'll be able to play, although I have to admit it looks a little questionable. He hasn't really been practicing to what I read this morning. So the odds of him playing seem a little low, but I'm sure if he can play, they'll put him in because he knows the schemes and he knows what to do.
Yep. Hey, the one guy that I wanted to talk a little bit about, Quentin Rollins, and he had a kind of a neck. He hurt his neck, and I read an article where he says, look, I, I've never hurt my neck before. And then he said, I don't want to be one of those guys lying around with all eyes on you. So I popped up and got off to the sidelines. He said, but he really got nervous about it. They took him into the locker room. His neck was x-rayed, and they said there was no damage. So would that be considered a stinger? Would that be – what would that be, do you think? Just a bruise?
Well, we were going to touch a little bit on how these neck injuries are managed, first of all. So maybe Dr. Pfeiffer would want to touch on this a little bit as well. When a player goes down, normally when they have a significant injury to the neck, they stay down. You know, that's sort of the normal thing. Obviously, it wasn't so bad that he felt like he had to stay down. And he did, as he said, he, quote, didn't want to be one of those guys lying around, which is kind of a funny way of putting it. But
well, what I would say is, you know, Brian, that is the old gladiator mentality. You know, certainly jump up. And we see this in this day and age where concussion is important, but we also see it with neck injuries. The players know the potential ramifications if they are injured in these type of scenarios, and they understand that they're going to be out of the game. He probably had the understanding that he wanted to be there. Their ranks were fairly thin in the back line, and he ran off. Then a little bit of logic set in, and he understood he had a neck injury that potentially could disrupt his football, let alone his life, in the future. And certainly he talked with the training staff. But those are things that we don't want athletes to do. You know, if an injured player, I know if it's football, no matter what level, has neck pain, we want them to stay down, have them talk with the folks that are there to help, the training staff, the physicians, because these can be catastrophic for a player going forward in football and life.
How quick do you think that the doctors and the trainers said to him, don't ever do that again? I bet it was before he got to the sidelines.
I think it was probably pretty fast. You know, the rules for this are, if you have bony tenderness in your neck, then you need to protect the neck, because you can't be certain that there's not a fracture there or an instability issue there that can cause paralysis in its worst situation. You know, Sterling Sharp played through this and had an unstable neck when he actually caught 4 touchdown passes. And then that following week, he had an MRI that showed that he had an unstable neck that ended his career. I mean, he actually played in the game with a potentially catastrophic injury. I think this is what Dr. Pfeiffer's referring to. So the point is, if you're out there and you have these injuries, it's best to get evaluated. Now, I'll tell you, having seen a lot of them over the years, most of the guys who are seriously injured stay down.
Right.
You know, it's not like they just jump back up again. We're hoping that this is a neck sprain. That's what they're treating it like. It's not like they've ruled him out for the year. It's not like he has a herniated disc or a fracture like our all-pro safety that we lost, Nick Collins.
Right.
So hopefully this will end up being something that goes away fairly quickly.
Guys, did you see the hit, the Dallas Cowboys, Seattle Seahawks, did you see the hit on the, I think it was a punt return, and it didn't look, I don't think it was a dirty hit. It looked like he saw him coming that last second, but that was really scary. He laid down, he was out before he hit the turf. And it was really, it was scary to sit and watch. And then when kind of came to and he put his hands up and stuff, you're feeling really good about it. But boy, I'll tell you what, talk about taking the air out of the stadium and feeling for this kid and his family and stuff. But he was out before he hit the turf, and he's out of the hospital and he's walking around doing fine. He's got a concussion, but man, that's a scary thing to see.
Yeah, it's great news that he's doing well, but you know, those are the heart thumpers that we have on the sideline. You know, we're there most of the time to watch some ball, but there are days where we have kids go down, players go down, where there's just a ragdoll falling to the turf and you got to get out there. Those are the times where we oftentimes have to assume injury, beginning in the head and neck area, and then go from there. And that's where it's great to have athletic trainers and trained personnel on the sideline to make sure that our athletes are safe in those type of significant injuries, unlike the neck sprains that we were talking about earlier.
Do you go right into doctor mode at that? Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, for sure.
You're kind
robotic.
Of a fan. You're watching it. I'm sorry, what is it?
Robotic.
It is. And that's all the training, education, and being prepared for that. Because this is, okay, boom. I've seen it because I've been on the sidelines a lot where, you know, you're hanging out with Dr. Tracy at a Franklin game or something, and he goes right into doctor mode. And you're right, it is robotic, and I think that's the way you have to do it.
I mean, that's why we're really there. I mean, we're there for these things to, you know, if they were to occur. That's why we normally are trying to watch the action on the field, because you can see the mechanism of the injury often tells us how to predict how severe this might be, and it can make a big difference. So, you know, the strategy, I don't know if you went through, you know, they usually now surround the players with a group of people to sort of shield from the cameras, which I think is appropriate because, you know, really these are times where, you know, the focus is on trying to save some guy's life or maybe prevent him from being paralyzed or whatever. And it's not really a camera friendly time, but there are cameras everywhere. So you see it. And, you know, when you're boarding up a patient, which I think all of us have done at one time or another, it's not a very fun thing to be doing. And you have emergency personnel there. There's protocol. A lot of people wonder why the helmet often stays on. Why do they have, you know, these face masks that are removable? These are all to protect the neck. So, you know, if you have shoulder pads on, you can imagine there are these big pads. If you take the helmet off, the neck drops into extension. It actually can cause further injury. So you have to understand, you know, the worst case I was ever involved in, Mike, is a kid who got hit, kind of got all wobbly, he was on the other sideline, so we couldn't get to him right away. And then he got about halfway to the other sideline, took his helmet off, and then went down, you know. So his helmet was already off. His shoulder pads are still on. You're not going to put the helmet back on. So anyway, these are the things we're trained to do. That's why we're there. That's why we have this Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine program. That's why we have all the trainers who are trained in how to do all these things to protect our athletes at any level, whether it's peewee all the way through to the pros. So.
Hey, I made a huge mistake. You know, we all make mistakes, but this one's huge. If Dr. Tracy's listening and I said I stand next to him on the Franklin sideline, it's Greendale. That's a big deal for Dr. Tracy. He's a Greendale guy, and we want to make sure that
We cover Franklin as well.
I know so. We do, but
all of us involved in the program know that we're just there to help the athletes.
Dr. Tracy.
We're cheering for our teams, but we're mostly cheering for no injuries.
That's absolutely no doubt. Hey, this show, we're going to be talking to Dr. Eric Pifel about a return to play and what it takes and when athletes are ready to return. And I'm excited about that because I think that people have to understand there's a lot that you guys put into this to make sure that these athletes are ready to go. It's not just, are you feeling better? Okay, time to get out there. I think that's important. Right?
Absolutely. You know, just like we were talking about the management of a player on the field, we have protocols. We have protocols that help to maintain safety. When kids and athletes are returning from surgery or injury, we have protocols, things to allow us a kind of an objective way to get them back to sport and create expectations. So, you know, these are the things we do as physicians and as medical staff for our athletes. We create, as part of our program, a way to get our kids back in an objective way.
So I know we're coming up against a break here in a minute, but I'll leave you with this thought before the break, and we'll discuss why this is important after the break. So if you ask a poll people, 85% of people believe they're above average.
In what way?
In every way. And this is relevant to return to sport and how quickly people think that they're going to heal. So we'll talk about that in terms of how we try to help you to understand how you're healing and what's happening in the body that allows you to get back to play.
I've never been in such a big minority before in my life. Hey guys, you can, if you want to tweet questions for our special guest, Dr. Eric Pifel, you can tweet us at #SportsMedRadio, SportsMedRadio. And for more information on Dr. Pifel, mymosh.com is a great place to go. We'll continue our conversation on the other side. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, I must admit, I can't explain any of these songs.
It's a Black Keys. And it's a good choice. Dr. Eric Pifel, mymosh.com. That's good stuff right there.
Do you know that Akron.
Are they?
Yes.
It's an Ohio band?
Yes, absolutely.
Need to get. Are you a Bengals fan or a Browns fan, by the way?
Browns.
That's all right. They got the best left tackle in all of football.
They do. Better. I wish he was a Packer.
Yeah. You know what? Johnny Manziel, I think, I'm a fan. I am. I think he's going to be pretty good. And I thought he made some great plays the other night. They just since the Bengals are, they're really tough. That's a good team.
They're going to put a dome on their stadium so they can put a mirror so he can see over the linemen.
Wow.
And then he can hit his targets.
And then they'll do an arm replacement for his weak arm and his brain transplant.
He's got quick feet.
We'll see how that plays out, Mike.
Hey, you know, he's part of the 85%.
He is for sure.
In fact, he may be higher than 95% of people that think they're above average. So, and why is that important, Dr. Prine?
Well, it relates to our topic because we're talking about return to play and how people come back from injuries. And in our experience, I shouldn't speak for Dr. Pfeifel, but we've talked about it before. You know, it's a natural human response to think that you're going to heal faster than average. I mean, you say, well, it takes 12 weeks to heal. Most people that I talk to say, well, I'll be healed in 8, you know, because they feel like they're fast healers and they're going to be better faster. And I'd like to say that I'm different than that, but of course I'm not. I mean, I've had surgeries myself and I always think I'd be back in like a quarter of the time and, you know, I'm dumb enough to try. And I mean, you know, so the point is our job largely is about educating people that there are some things that are psychological, which we're going to talk about towards the end of this. And there are some things that are physiological and that they're different. Okay. So we encourage, and I think we enjoy,
Yeah, absolutely.
We enjoy treating athletes who think they're going to be better faster.
Well, fun. I mean, and I think that's part of being an athlete, especially an elite athlete. These are typically alpha personalities or A-type personalities. They think they're better, and that's part of their success. Unfortunately, part of success when it comes to biology of healing does not only come from the neck up. It comes from the neck down, and those are the type of objective things that we need to figure out for them that are beyond the mental strength.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about the 85% and thinking that those guys and those gals that believe that are probably better off thinking that, okay, I'm going to make sure that I do everything and then maybe go even a little bit above what my doctor is telling me to do because I want to prove to him or her that I can get back. And and since I'm part of that 85%, I should be able to get better. Rather than guys and gals that say, you know what, they're telling me that I've got to see the trainer 3 times a week. I'm going to go twice. I'm not going to be able to get back in 12 weeks. It's going to be 16. Who's better to treat?
Well, the best people to treat are the people who are very optimistic, who want to work hard, but understand they need to stay within the parameters of what's safe for their biology. In other words, for what's actually happening with the healing process. So we spend a lot of time, and I know Dr. Pfeifel does too, educating patients about what I call the box. Okay, so there's a low end of the box, there's a high end of the box, and we want you to stay inside that. So don't do too little. Because we have other patients too who say, "Well, I'm gonna not do anything. I'm just gonna," and that's not right either. And then we have other people who just ignore everything you say and go play football, and they're a month out from their ACL and they're playing football in the parking lot. So there's a safe zone there, if you want to call it that, and that zone changes every month for me. And I think Dr. Pfeifel can speak to the same thing. He's lived through this.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your first question, Mike, as far as who's harder. I think it is harder to deal with a patient who thinks that they can overcome everything because it is harder to pull back the reins because that is mental fortitude compared to a patient who doesn't think they can do anything because they just need a little pep talk. So I think the athlete is the harder to deal with when it comes to the mental aspects, but much easier on the physical aspects.
He's Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Check out more information on him at mymosh.com. And again, if you have a question that you want either of Dr. Brian McCarty or Dr. Eric Pfeifel to answer, hashtag SportsMedRadio, tweet us and we can get them to answer it. What about age-wise? Do you find that high school kids, because they have their parents involved with some of that as well, harder or easier than like a weekend warrior who's 40 years old trying to, you know, get back and play Sunday football in the park?
Well, you know, Weekend Warrior is a little bit easier, I think, all in all, because typically are timetables. We talk with our athletes, especially with injury and surgery, about timetables of getting back. When you're a Weekend Warrior and have a 9-to-5 throughout the week, typically your timetables are get back to work and then figure out the sports later. When you start talking about your high school or collegiate athletes, even if their parents aren't involved, they have strict timetables. And especially at collegiate or pro level, where you're talking about scholarships or salary, those timetables are very, very important to them. And you need to delineate what average things are going to happen. And that's a much more difficult transition for them going forward compared to someone who has a much more malleable schedule.
Yeah, I think I would echo these comments very much. The most difficult group for me is the high school kid who's at the end of their eligibility because they don't have any room. You know, even the collegians, sometimes they'll redshirt for a year and they'll get an extra year of eligibility. The most difficult ones are our better high school athletes who are going into their senior season. And I'll be honest, we have at times modified things significantly to allow them an opportunity to play. And you know, there's one young man who 10, 15 years ago, we let him get back to playing in his senior season from an ACL injury at 4 months after his surgery, which was very unusual. But he was only going to play that year, and that was the only chance he had, and he hit every benchmark. And in those days, we were letting some of the athletes go back that early. I don't know that we would do that now, but we did then. And I'll tell you something. We got a phone call from his father every single year thanking us from him for – at least 8 to 10 years
wow.
for that senior season that he had. And so there are parameters that can be bent one way or another a little bit. But fact is, you still have to get everything healed in.
Yeah, really important. Hey, looking through some things this morning, doing research for the show, I want to go through tips from the pros to speed your recovery. I want to get your take on these. Number one is maintain balanced physical conditioning.
Absolutely. You know, certainly we've talked about it before about creating an overall athlete, not an overly specified one. And when you get back into recovery, a big part of it is maintaining some of your core strength, maintaining balance, because those are important even beyond your specific injury going forward. So taking an athlete that is cross-training, especially during rehabilitation, is a very important thing, both during prehabilitation and rehabilitation.
You know, number two, Dr. Brian, make sure that injuries are recognized early and treated properly and promptly. Really important. And we talk about that on this show, that how important it is not if you're, you know, you turn your ankle and it's swollen 5 days later and it's not getting any better. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah,
right?
Get a diagnosis. Find out what's wrong. That'll give you the plan that you need to get better faster. And that's why, you know, we really emphasize this with all of our kids in our huge, you know, Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine program is a very far-reaching program with lots of schools, lots of trainers, lots of therapists, and lots of doctors. And we're all there for one reason. That's to help the kids and the athletes right. get better. And so if you know what it is, obviously we can help you get better faster.
You know, this third one, Dr. Pfeifel, I think is really important, and it might be the one that we're discussing the most here. Participate in a full functional rehabilitation program from start to finish.
Absolutely. You know, and I think, and Brian touched on, that we do have times that we bend some of the objective parameters, but the majority of the time we have an objective protocol for a specific injury in which you have to make these certain goals in order to proceed to the next level. And if you don't complete those or you don't succeed in that phase of the rehabilitation, then you don't proceed. So that pushes out the timetables. But if we have objective parameters, that gives us the best chance of getting our players back to their sport in a safe fashion. And these are based on information and studies throughout our literature.
Did you guys find, if I can, Dr. Brian, do you find that a lot of people, you know, get halfway through and say, man, I'm doing great. I don't need to keep doing that. Or get three quarters and don't go past the finish line.
Yes. And, you know, look, it's like everything else. Everybody's familiar with curves, right? Bell curves.
Right.
And Dr. Pfeifel's point is really excellent about this idea that we're not just making up numbers. I mean, these numbers are based on data and they're based on facts. And it is true that there are variabilities, but the point is, if you don't functionally rehab and strengthen and get your, you know, when you come into my office, if you come in and your quad's all weak and you're not moving, even if you're 6 months out, you're not ready to play because you're just going to get hurt. And the thing that's changed, and we talked about this kid who went back early, Well, in those days, we thought it was safe. Now, when we collected a lot of data, we saw that there is a steady decrease in the rate of injury all the way out past a year. Some people say 2 years out from an ACL. Well, now, realistically, if you took someone 2 years out from an ACL, that's the end of their career.
Right.
From anything. So that's really unrealistic, and we don't see support for that. But it's a curve, and it drops down like every other curve, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller the farther you get away. So we pick a date, and that partly is due to the healing, and it's partly due to the functional rehab. And we'll talk at the end of this show, we're going to talk about the Derrick Rose and Jabari Parker and looking at how their recoveries went, because I think this leads into the psychological and the physical, how those all interplay. And how that makes a difference in terms of their attitude, how they come back, and everything else.
Hey, we'll continue. We've got to get to a break. There's a couple more that I want to talk to you about, how to speed your recovery, and we'll do that on the other side of the break. Our special in-studio guest, Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Go to mymosh.com, get more information. Don't hold against him that he's a Browns fan. It's okay. One day he'll be able to talk smack.
That's a credit to him.
That is a credit. He's also a Buckeye fan, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a demerit.
You know what, Dad? Hey, you know what? I got nothing. I bow to you on that one. We'll continue on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. McCoys, hang on, Snoopy. There's a reason that this is being played by Dr. Eric Pfeifel, mymosh.com. And the reason I think...
It's a Buckeye favorite in the local watering holes.
And somebody told you that, right? You wouldn't know about that.
I heard a rumor.
You heard a rumor. That's awesome.
Did you know that an O and a zero look really similar?
Look, I'm not saying any of that.
Zero losses.
Yeah.
That's quick. Well
sad.
Played.
That's so sad, well, but so true.
Well played. Zero losses is correct.
It's hard to argue the data on this
look,
one.
Look, I can talk Brown football and have that smirk on my face, but boy, you get the Buckeyes and I just nod my head at you. Hey, a couple other. We ended last segment. Tips from the pros to speed your recovery. Number four is stay fit while injured. Dr. Brian, you talk about that a lot. You talk about, look, if your ankle is the problem, make sure that you're still working out on every other part of your body.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it starts right away. I mean, some of the guys that we did surgery for yesterday will be on an exercise bike today to get moving. And so we expect that, and we expect them to kind of get going. And you want to keep everything fit around the injury. So when you're healed, you're not a big blob of, you know, laziness. You're ready to go.
Why are you looking at me when you
I'm
say that?
I'm not looking at
yeah.
you.
Yeah, Dr. Pfeifel, you saw him look at me in that.
Dude, just you've been dropping weight faster than...
trying. It's been a rough 2 weeks, but I'm back hard.
Hot air balloonist.
The last one, and we talked about this, but it's really important. Keep a positive, upbeat mental attitude. Do you guys, and you guys have both been through this, so I think you know this, but there comes a time in, you know, when I had, like, surgery on my knee where you think, man, I'm not getting any better. You know, it's been, they told me if I keep doing this and 4 weeks in, I should be feeling better, and I'm not. And there's that frustration and doubt that sets in, and you've got to be able to overcome that.
Yeah, absolutely. And my patients, my assistants, and the people in my office get tired of hearing me say, healing's 50% from the neck up. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I think you have to have optimism that is tempered a bit. But when you talk about recovery, you have to have some type of parameters to show your patient that they're improving. So oftentimes I'll have them take a video of their knee or their shoulder or their hip, whatever surgery they had, bring in their therapy notes and compare visits from previous times, because oftentimes you miss it. You live with the injury day to day. And when you don't see the bigger picture, you get discouraged. But if you look at it in jumps, from weeks to weeks, oftentimes there's great parameters to show them objectively so their brain can feel a little bit better.
He's Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Again, more information on Dr. Pfeifel, go to mymosh.com. If you want Tim to answer a question while we're on the air here, just tweet us at #SportsMedRadio, and we will do that. Let's talk about how often do you get to see the patient. Do you see him, obviously, or her prior? and you talk about what's going to happen through the process. If somebody needs knee surgery or shoulder or something like that, you then do the surgery. And how in tune with that patient are you after that?
Well, just like everything, I speak with the patient as far as their objective parameters, what they need to get to the next level. I also have those for myself. So I certainly have a lengthy discussion with the patient ahead of time about expectations and goals. We do the surgery in a controlled fashion based on medical knowledge. Then we do the recovery in the same way. And I typically see patients the day of surgery. If they stay in the hospital, I see them the next day, which is less common these days. I typically see them in about 5 to 7 days, at about a month, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, and depending if it's something really big, at a year. But I really keep close tabs, probably a little bit more than the average person. But I think in sports medicine, you need to keep close tabs in order to expedite the recovery.
How great is that feeling, Dr. Pfeifel, at the end of this journey when you see that athlete get back on the court or back on the field?
The best payment I get in life is a hug, a high five, some knucks, or a autographed picture from my athletes as they're getting back. And certainly it sounds hokey, but that's why we do this. This is not because I need to put shoes on my kids' feet. It's because I enjoy getting people back to what they want to do.
Boy, that's the Mosh way.
Well, it is. And I mean, Dr. Pfeifel and I share this philosophy that education is a huge part of the recovery process and the information process. And that's one of the reasons we started this program, is we really believe that if people know what's going on, they respond in kind. And that's what they want to know. They also want to know how they're doing compared to norms, right? So they want to know, am I on track? And if they're on track, that, you know, and if they're not, then all they just need to know is, well, how do you get back on track? So, you know, we do this exactly the same thing. We just see them in a, you know, less than a week, in a month, 2 month, 3 month, 4 month, 6 month, for most things. And again, there, you know, it depends on the thing, but that's the typical. And the reason we do that is because every time we see them, we have expectations as to what we're going to be seeing. And we tell them that. So when we see them at a month after an ACL, we say, well, by this time next month, this is what I would like to see. You know, this is where you should be.
When you talked about those benchmarks, you talked about here's where we have to be. It's almost like you're dating for a while.
You know, right? Not, a little bit. It's not really like
that. No, it is. No. It is. It's kind of like you're dating. Hey, how often do you get asked, what is the risk of secondary injury? You know, what is the risk of, if I go back too quick, what is the risk of a secondary injury?
Well, it's the same thing I speak with them about, objective parameters. If they have strength, if they have no pain, if they have no swelling, they have great motion, then the risk is significantly diminished. If we push those objective parameters too far, that risk goes up, and it can go up exponentially the closer to your injury or surgery that it is. And, you know, there are times where you make those changes, but typically I say, slow down, listen to the protocol, let's listen to the studies, and you'll do fine most time.
You didn't like that dating line much, huh?
Mike, if our patients felt like they were dating us, we'd have very many fewer patients.
So you'd be able to get into Mosh a lot easier.
It's not really quite like that, people, I promise.
You're seeing them once a month or so. Hey, on the other side of the break,
you dated more than once a month, did you not?
I'm married. So
you can't remember.
That's daily.
That is daily. That's hourly sometimes, in a good way. In a good way. We'll continue our conversation. What it takes to get back to playing, and how the decision process is made. Are there guidelines that address the return to play? And I want to ask you about that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. You have no idea what it's like to see two doctors jumping around in
this
studio
place,
like
the
this.
The studio's rocking right now.
Can't stop it.
No, can't stop it. Dr. Eric Pfeifel.
We don't need national championships to celebrate.
Jump around. A lot better than hang on Snoopy. I'm just saying, your football team may have beaten the Badgers, but
I'll take that loss.
I'll tell you, if we had another crack at them in that Big Ten championship, we would not lose by more than 50 points.
Attaboy.
You'd score 1 point.
At least, yeah.
We would. Our special in-studio guest, Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Go to mymosh.com to get more information on Dr. Pfeifel. My in-studio co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Hey, during the break, we talked about the difference between Jabari Parker and Derrick Rose, and want to talk a little bit about the psychological part of this whole thing, Dr. Brian.
Well, I'm actually going to throw a lot of this to Dr. Pfeifel. He's lived through this. He's actually gone through this rehab and the recovery and everything else. And what I will say is, just as a surgeon who sees this recovery in my office every single day and has treated athletes for 15 years in my own practice, I have never seen an elite athlete or a high-level athlete who I say you can go play who won't go play. That I have not seen. And that's something we saw with Derrick Rose that I was completely shocked by. I would not have expected that. And you look at the body language and the attitude. You see Jabari coming back. He's bouncing around. He can't wait to get out there. He's all excited to be out there. And he feels great. And he's excited. You know, he's not 100% yet, but he's excited, you know. And it's just cool to see. So, Dr. Pfeifel, speak to that. I mean, you've been through this. Obviously, you were a little older when this happened, but still, the feeling of being able to do more, you know, typically you embrace that. Is that what you've noticed?
Absolutely. And, you know, certainly we touched on it last segment is that healing's from the neck up a lot of the time. And in Jabari Parker's, his healing is halfway there just by his attitude. And as far as Derrick Rose, certainly he has a lot of injury. He has a lot of doubt. And you got to remember, people and athletes are human. And a lot of our ability to maintain the things we do in life, even sports, it comes back to who we are. And although someone has great talent, sometimes they don't have great drive. And some people that just have great talent have got along on that for a long time. And then they just say, you know what? I've had enough. You know, we've seen great athletes just stop at their peak. Why is that? It wasn't worth it anymore. Jim Brown. Barry Sanders. So a lot of when it comes to playing sports is the mentality of getting back in there. When you have an injury, it only adds to that concern. And with me, Brian reconstructed my ACL last year. I'm a year and a half out. I'm back doing the things that I want to do, but I've been able to do that at my own pace on my own time. I don't have the pressures of media. I don't have the pressures of coaches and agents saying you got to get back like Derrick Rose has.
Is there anything you're not doing?
I'm not going to play soccer again because I can't miss another 6 weeks of work.
Yeah, that's it. So you know what? But that's your decision.
Yes,
it's
I have
not
decided.
Like soccer is your job,
no.
And you've decided. You know what? I'm not going to do this.
But having said that, I am now playing racquetball. I'm cross country skiing, downhill skiing. I'm doing everything a 40-something-year-old dad should be doing.
What kind of patient was he?
He was an excellent patient, to be honest. Many of my physician patients, you know, push the envelope because that's the way we are. But he was really very, very compliant. Did, I think, an excellent job with his rehab, staying in the parameters. You know what Dr. Pfeifel did that so many of us are bad at is he let himself be the patient. And it's very hard to do when you know what's going on. And you made a big point of that right from the beginning, but you know, getting back to these things with like Derrick Rose and Jabari, you know, I don't know Derrick Rose. He is a phenomenal talent. He's incredibly explosive. I don't question his drive. I don't question his character, to be honest. I think a lot of us see these things in the media and we kind of pile on.
Right. I agree with that.
And I don't think that's fair. We don't know what's going on with him really. But I will say that there are a lot of athletes out there who end up in the end, they don't really love what they do. And that affects you. You know, if you love what you do, you love going to work, you love doing your thing, you know, it makes it a lot easier to come back. And some of these guys, you know, once you get a bunch of injuries, man, it's tough. I mean, you're looking at this with Tiger Woods now. He's who knows if he's ever going to come back.
Hey, guys, before we have to get out of here, I have a quick question for you. With football players and you're looking at like Marquette and Franklin, some of these teams that are still playing, for these guys that are also basketball players, and with basketball starting next week, a week from Monday on the boys' side, do you give them, as if you were their coach or as a physician, do you give them some time off to let their body heal and rest before you get them back on the basketball court?
I think that we've talked about this before. And cross-training and doing multiple sports is great, and certainly the transition from collision to contact sport like you're discussing, it is pretty reasonable to get them back right away, but very slowly. understand they're going to be beat up. They may not be able to participate in a significantly long 3-hour practice. So they may just get in, do some shooting, do some room, very simple tasks to get ready for a different sport. But don't anticipate they're going to be at their peak of basketball play right away compared to the guys that hadn't played football.
Yeah, we always emphasize that, you know, these seasons, you want them really at their peak at the end of the season, not at the beginning. So, you know, don't beat the tar out of them right off the gates. This leads right into the Jabari Parker discussion. So, you know, he comes back from injury, and this is what we often do, and he's coming back with limited minutes, right?
Correct.
Well, that's the smart way to bring him back, right? So now he can be as aggressive and explosive as he wants to be, not fatigue himself. The same thing is true of these football players. So if they're coming off of a heavy season and they're kind of beat up. Now, remember, they're in high school, so they recover very quickly at that age. But, you know, you're not, as Dr. Pfeifel said, you're not going to go out and just beat them to death in a 3-hour practice. You modify their program so that they come back and they're fresh and their legs are good and they can contribute.
Have pitch counts for every sport.
You know what's nice about coaching basketball this year at Greendale Martin Luther? Our football players are going to be fresh, you know what, but not in the future. Coach Hopper's going to get those boys going, but right now, our football players are going to be awfully fresh come basketball season. Dr. Pfeifel, this has been great. I really appreciate your time. The fact that you went through the surgery a year and a half ago and you're back playing racquetball and doing all that stuff, just what a great way to say, you know, Mosh is the place to go. You did it. And everything that you thought it was as a patient, it certainly is.
I've worn all hats, and I'm very happy with the treatment and care. So thanks again for having me, Mike.
Yeah, Brian. You bet. Dr. Brian McCarty, it's good to see you.
Great to see you. I hope everyone out there has a great weekend, and stay healthy, stay fit, and we'll talk to you next week.
You could play 9 today.
I think I've got other things to do.
There you go.
You're right. It has been pretty – El Nino has been very kind to us so far.
Yeah.
It's a great weather pattern for Wisconsin.
It's awesome. Dr. Eric Pfeifel, go to mymosh.com to get more information on Dr. Pfeifel. Guys, it's been good to see you. I'll see you next week. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.